This program is made possible by friends and partners of Apostle Avrome Osai, Remnant Christian Network Ministry. God bless you as you join us.
It's time to rebel against the devil. When he comes to you and tells you, you are a failure in ministry, you cannot amount to anything, he's telling you the opposite, because he lies as his native language. Is it Satan that spoke to you that made you lose your sleep? Is it because somebody spoke to you and you took his words like the word of God? Grow up. Because where you are going in life, many imposters will come and speak in the name of God just to get you distracted. That's one of the avenues of the devil's work. But you need to come out. You know how much power is available to you. You not give up vision. We fight to see the reality of that which God has spoken. And as long as it is yet to come to pass, we will fight.
Romans chapter 8, verse number 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. If you are still here, say amen. First of all, I think we need to do definition of terms. There are quite a few terminologies that are difficult to comprehend in this scripture. So we'll do definition of terms as time goes on. The Bible says, I reckon, the word reckon, as used in the Greek, is the same word for account. The accounting has to do with debit and credit. Accounting has to do, if you are going to balance your accounts, there's a debit section and there's a credit section. So if Paul is saying that I reckon, I account, it means that there are two things that are in view, because that word is only deployed as a common ground of comparison. I reckon, I account, and the two factors that are under consideration in this scripture is the suffering of the present time and the glory that shall be revealed in us. That glory will not be revealed on us, but it will be revealed inside of us. And according to Paul, through spiritual permutation, he has come to the conclusion of the fact that irrespective of the suffering, if we put the suffering on the scale, what the suffering will produce is not by any means comparable to the suffering itself. In order for you to realize the import of the investment of God that is upon your heart, you are going to go through a process. And this process is going to be engineered by the government of God. I know you don't know what that means. You see, one of the things that God uses, for instance, just one stroke. One of the things that God uses to test us is time. Right? The best thing you know how to do is to pray, but you don't know how to answer prayer. His government becomes his model for reaching out to you. And you may not know that all of the infrastructure that is managed by God around your life is determined to bring you to a point where you are submissive to the systems of God. You can only pray, you can't answer prayer. So, when you finish praying, you still need to wait for prayers to be answered. And the way the prayers will be answered are not the way you expect them to be answered. If you walk like that with God for 10 years, you will learn a thing or two about the workings of God. You will know that in order for God to raise a man, his government would have purged your appetites and your vanities and your corruption. You see, the process of purging is not good to the flesh. And so because it is not good to the flesh, a lot of people don't want to be under the influence of God, because it's not predictable. You don't know when the responses will come. You don't know when the feedback will come. You don't know when God will decide that, okay, this is the season for you to be manifested to your generation. And all of those uncertainties are part of what God puts in place to deal with a man so that his soul will not be lifted up to vanity. So Paul is saying, I reckon, I account that the sufferings that are built into the process of the present time is nothing to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Please help me tell your neighbor that the suffering is in the present, but the glory is your destiny. The moment you take your eyes off the glory, the suffering is going to be amplified and your perception of the suffering is going to change. You will begin to see yourself in the light of the suffering instead of seeing yourself in the light of the glory. The Bible speaking about Jesus said, because of the joy that was set before him, the cross was something that he could endure. It means that if you have the right perspective, you can survive any circumstance. And our God is a God that will not give you anything that he has not processed you enough to be able to handle. He will never use a stone that he has not tried. It is possible for you to be in the process of God and you promote yourself and give yourself visibility. It means that you have circumvented, shortchanged the protocol. In the next 2 years, you might become visible. In the next 2 years, everybody might be listening to you. You are just like a shooting star. The same way you appeared suddenly, you will disappear suddenly. I need to take you to the book of Revelation. Then I'll show you a brother that is unveiling his CV. Hallelujah. Then we'll come back here. And then we'll begin our definition of terms. A lot of people, you know, the Jesus of our time is a money doubler. He's a God that gives men false hope, that speaks about breakthroughs coming next week. Phone calls. So what we are trying to do, the last generation of preachers, what they tried to do was to remove process. So we now operate in an economy of signs and wonders that negates process. So next week, he knows it's a lie, but he makes the people feel better. God is not trying to make you feel better. He's trying to build you into something that is eternal. And because of your acquaintance with time, you are not by any means conversant with how eternal things are built. Are you with me? You are not with me. You know, I was a classroom teacher before I began to preach. I find out that what we were trained to teach, so I know when my students are getting what I'm talking about. God wants to use you to build something that is older than you, that will live after you. He will not use your methods. He will not use your strategy. In fact, your expectation in that context will be wild. So your flesh is going to react. And you consider it an unpleasant experience. But God is saying that if you package, if you get all those unpleasant experiences and you put a value on it. Alright? The value that you place on glory when it manifests is much more than the sufferings of what? Of the present time. The Brazilians are here all the way from Brazil. Hallelujah. Please celebrate Evangelist Peter. So we need to make available to them an interpreter. Maybe the man from Angola will draw near to them and interpret what I am preaching. Hallelujah. Just in case you discover that the basement is filled up, we still have space on the gallery. So the point is this, will you amplify the suffering I hope you know that suffering is part of Christianity. That's how Jesus altered our faith. And everyone that is going to follow his example has a fair share of suffering that is allocated to you. Because God, in his infinite wisdom, has discovered that the way to defeat the flesh, the way to defeat self, are spirit-allocated sufferings that will disappoint your human capacity. For instance, I used to have the ability to cram those days when I was on campus. And cram whole hand out. And I believe that I was the most brainy man on earth. So when I see my colleagues struggling to pick one or two things, I said they are cursed, that their brains are leaking. So when God wanted to help the boy, what he did was that one day I finished cramming, entered into the exam hall, I forgot everything. So I scored zero. Then I came out and it happened five times. You see, God will orchestrate circumstances to defeat your strength so that you will not have the ability to have confidence in it again. And that kind of dealing comes with suffering. Meanwhile, God allows us to go through suffering for a positive purpose because he wants to reveal his glory in us. You know, when God created fish, the habitat for fish was water. He created plants, the habitat for plants was the earth. He created man. Where did he put man? You see, now the class has gone silent. In a garden. Now, so if it's in a garden, why have they not been able to find the location? Is the garden a location? Archaeologists can find anything. They can find your ancestors, where they stayed. They found the Ark of Noah. So why have they not been able to find Eden? Eden is an environment. It's not necessarily a location. It's an environment. It's an embassy. It's a part of heaven that was distilled upon the earth. And that was the location God put man. Because man was like a linesman, having capacity to interface with the unseen realm and the seen realm. The first man had the responsibility of guardianship, to exercise territorial integrity, so that no creature that is licensed will come into this visible framework. Because of how important the assignment was, God gave him a wife as a helpmate. But he failed. May the Lord give you understanding. Are you with me? It's an environment. And once and again, we stumble into Eden. And the experience of Eden, a few scriptures describe it. One of the scriptures is having joy unspeakable, full of having a peace that passes understanding. Oh, you are not with me. Okay, let's take it one by one. There's an environment, and when you come there are no words. It's unspeakable. It is beyond that which you can utter. There are intelligences that are beyond your utterance. Have you heard of groanings that mortals cannot utter? Meanwhile, that's an intelligent communication. But it's just that your human utterance doesn't have the stature to capture it. The creature called man was created for glory. So anything short of glory was not the plan of God. Have you heard the scripture that said, for all have sinned and fallen short from what? The glory of God. It is because of the fall of man that the concept of glory is a far cry. And part of what God wants to do during these days is to restore us to our original state. And that is a possibility that is captured in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory is our destiny. Have you read that scripture that says that those he called, he justified? And those he justified, what did he do? He glorified. Because we were able to reroute in Christ Jesus and we are headed for our original intent in God, which is what? How many of you have used, what do they call it? That navigation application. What's it called? Google Map. No, there's one we use in Brazil. It's called Waze. Waze. And I was going for a meeting. And the principalities rerouted the application and took us to a strange place. And when we arrived at that strange place, he now rerouted and started showing us the redirection. I know you don't believe that. Took us to a strange, another city. And when we came there, we knew we were wrong. So the pathway was charted in Adam, but he met roadblock. So in Christ, there's rerouting. And it's still consistent with the original intention, which is navigation into glory. Because that's the habitat for man. Are you still with me? So the suffering of this present time, please let me preach to your neighbor. Doesn't matter what you're going through. If the hand of God is upon you, he can use negative situations to achieve something that is positive. You still remember Joseph? When he was trying to interpret the things that had happened to him to his brothers. He said, you meant all this for evil, but what happened? God rerouted it. God has turned it for good. So, God can allow some evil to come into your life, and he's going to facilitate the unveiling of his glory in your life. So, we cannot talk about glory without emphasizing the fact that it is a product of a dealing that comes from God. And that dealing that comes from God is a judgment on that which will compromise the integrity of God that is situated in your life. God finds occasion to judge it. You understand that? So the sufferings of this present time is nothing to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So worthy of note is that suffering is in the present, but glory is where? In the future. And if you take your eyes off the glory, your suffering will have a different meaning. If you keep your eyes on the glory, it will be easy for you to endure the suffering. Because of the assurance that it is not permanent, it is not your destiny, it is only a passage. It is what? A passage. So the sons of God go through the process, and then they are given measures of God to express. And in the expressions of these measures of God that they are given, so many things happen. So let's continue. I think we need to do definition of terminologies. The first terminology that we need to define here is what we call the bondage of corruption. Meanwhile, don't think that I had any discussion with the choir to sing this song. They are on their own and I'm on my own. So when I saw them singing it, I just told my wife, okay. She knew because I told her that God said I should preach on the bondage of corruption. She is a choir member. So, and she didn't tell me that I was accurate. The bondage of corruption. All right. So we need to define that. And then the Bible speaks about a vanity that creation was subject to. So we need to talk about that vanity. And the third thing that we need to define is manifestation. The Greek word for manifestation here is apokalypsis, which means unveiling. So the sons of God will be unveiled. And I will show you scriptures before the unveiling. This was how they were. And after the unveiling, this was the product that God had. So if you take off before your unveiling, it means that you will need to come and repeat class. Your unveiling is something that God will do by himself. It's not something you can achieve through Facebook and Instagram. And just in case you take off like a tornado, God's covering that is supposed to be part of the insurance policy that protects your rising will not be there. Because you facilitated your unveiling, you will need to sustain your unveiling, and that is one of the things you don't have the competence to achieve. So we need to do a study so that we come clean. Then you understand what the bondage of corruption is and why the sons of God must be unveiled. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Now, where's the man on the keyboard? 30 minutes into my teaching, you can interrupt. With strings, just soft. As we migrate from the known to the unknown. It's a migration. So it might interest the keyboard man that this is now your post, your current post. You know, the kingdom of God is not in words. Words are weak to illustrate the power of our kingdom. So as much as we believe in the teaching ministry is supposed to be backed up with performances that words cannot accomplish. In the book of John chapter 3, the Bible says, Nicodemus was speaking to Jesus. He said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no one can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. I was thinking that he would have said, we know you are a teacher because you taught on this subject, you taught on that subject. No. What made him a teacher that I could trace to God was that when he finishes to teach, God comes to confirm the fact that I sent him with signs and wonders. No, you are, hallelujah. I say it's 30 minutes into my delivery. I know you like the hallelujah. You know, those days, we were taught that the teacher is not powerful. The teacher only teaches. Then I went to the scripture. I said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no one can do this. That's when I discovered that my teachers could be wrong. But the Bible cannot. So let my teacher continue. Me, I will stay with the Bible. So when I saw that the teaching grace was on my life, I said, Lord, I don't want to be like the teachers that taught me. I want to be like this teacher that has miracles. No one can do it. I cannot pretend that I have miracles. It's only you that can walk miracles through a man. So my prayer increased, even though I could do one or two things with the scriptures. I wanted God to back me up. Tonight there'll be a backup. Hallelujah. Amen. So we need to do definition of terms, okay? So come with me quickly. When we talk about the fall of man, what exactly do we mean? If you're a student of the book of Genesis, you will find that within the fall are four falls. There are four falls in the fall. So I would like us to follow it. The reason why we're doing all of that is because we want to define what the bondage of corruption is. Are you with me? The bondage of what? Of corruption. So if you're a student of the book of Genesis, you will find that in the book of Genesis chapter 3, we see a documentary of the fall of man. But theologically, we normally call that the first fall, because there are four falls. So the first fall is from Genesis chapter 3, from verse 1. Genesis chapter 3, from verse 1 to 6. That's the first fall. And the ingredients under the first fall is, number one, the serpent's temptation of man. Then number two, God's dealing with the first fall. He judges the serpent. He gives the promise of the seed of the woman. He disciplines man through suffering. And redemption is anticipated. Is that clear? Then finally, he closes the way to the tree of life. He was dealing with what? The first fall. And this first fall, if we define it, It is actually a fall from the presence of God to the conscience of man. You see, it was God in his presence that was supposed to be the governing element of the old creation. But when man fell in that wise, the first shift that took place was that man fell from the presence of God and fell into his conscience. So the only regulator that God had, therefore, for humankind was the conscience after the first fall. Unfortunately, that's not the end of the fall. Man also fell from his conscience, and you see that account in the book of Genesis chapter 4. Because what happened here in Genesis chapter 4 was that Cain decided to depart from the presence of God to establish a city that was apart from God. The implication of that was Cain was saying, I want to establish a civilization that God does not control. A civilization that exists apart from God so that we can live our lives without the influence of God coming to intercept us. So you find that in the book of Genesis. From verse number 16, you will see Cain departing from the presence of God and establishing a city called Nod. Hallelujah. So it is in that city called Nod, 7 generations later, five generations later, that polygamy was founded, pioneered by Lamech. Because the city was a civilization that had no God. So it was growing and expanding without God. It is when we get to the New Testament that John the Beloved, now gave a name to that city. The city had evolved. It had encroached into everything. So much so that the whole world now lieth in the wicked one. So it was John that identified that that city that Cain pioneered was called the world system. John was the one that had most revelations about the world. He mentioned the world 3 times in the Gospel of John, mentioned the world 5 times in 1 John, mentions the world. He keeps mentioning in the entire scripture. He had more insight about the world system than any other preacher before him. So what happened in the book of Genesis chapter 4 was a departure from the presence of God. First of all, it was a departure from the governing presence of God into the conscience of man. And then there was a further deterioration, and man now left anything that had to do with the government of God and decided to establish a city. A city that will exist apart from God. So the second fall is theologically called a fall from man's conscience to others' control. It was what the leading men of their fold prescribed as ideal that became the idea. It's not like our generation. A set of people have risen up. And they said the dictionaries were wrong. Oxford dictionary is wrong. Collins dictionary is wrong. Because Oxford dictionary defines marriage as a relationship between a man and a woman. So some guys have risen up and they say, no, that's wrong. It's no longer Adam and Eve, but Adam and Steve. See, in that world, a majority of the population will subscribe to the voice of the most vocal person. So unfortunately, in that system, it is other men that are controlling men. Meanwhile, man was designed to be controlled and regulated by God. But at this time, they have departed from the presence of God. They don't want human government. And what we don't know as men is that we are beings that are created to be under government. So if you decide not to be under God's government, you will still serve something else. So they were now held up under other men's control. That's the second status of the fall. The third status of the fall, which is the reason why I'm doing this, is falling from others' control to human government, where men were the ones ruling. And that's what we have in the book of Genesis chapter 6. I will have to explain something to us quickly. Are you with me? From Genesis chapter 6. Because that third fall led to something that is very critical. Meanwhile, let me explain the fourth fall. The fourth fall is from Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 to 9. And the nature of the fourth fall is from human government to rebellion under Satan's instigation. It was in Genesis chapter 11 that human beings, inspired by Satan, wanted to build a city and a tower that the top will reach the heavens. You see, Satan was not actively in controls until this time. So Satan became the governor. But you see, the thing about the third fall is that man came under human government, and because man was being ruled by man, something happened. It became possible for the human race to be infiltrated. The gates of corrupting humanity was open. And it happened to be that because in heaven, Satan had already fallen. Are you with me? You're not with me. Satan was looking for a way, because the agenda that Satan had, you could see his agenda in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, verse 12 to 14. He plotted a coup. He wanted to operate in Zion. He wanted to be the administrator of the kingdom of God. And it was not given to him from above. You will see how that he desired to ascend over the stars of God. He desired to capture a portfolio in heaven, which was not his ordination. And so he was refused. And the angels of heaven resisted him and cast him down. So there was already corruption that was expelled from heaven. And that which Satan wanted to accomplish in heaven that he could not accomplish, he found an apostle on earth with whom the first apostle he found was Cain. And it was Cain that left the presence of God to establish a civilization that was apart from God. In that civilization, we can actually count seven degradations that took place in the city that Cain built. But that's not the focus. Do you know, the moment you leave the government of God, you are starting, corruption has started. It's just a matter of time, you will be bowing down to idols. Oh, and your intelligence will not stop the decay, the decline. You will not even know when you cross the boundary. It's a privilege to be numbered in Jesus. When the third fall came, something happened. And what happened was that man became susceptible to corruption. His world could be invaded. His world could be corrupted. So angels had fallen along with Satan, and they were waiting for the third fall. Because if the third fall doesn't come, they cannot infiltrate the human race. Oh, you are not with me. I think I need a scripture to support my claim. Can you turn with me? Jeremiah chapter 31. Can you give me verse 27? Jeremiah 31, verse 27. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord. You will not understand it. Well, let me just read my scripture. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 27. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah, the seed of man, and wheat, the seed of beast. You will not understand this one. Let me give you another one that will be easy for you to understand. The goal of darkness was to corrupt the seed of man. And the reason why the goal of darkness was to corrupt the seed of man was because God, in his redemptive mode, decided to prophesy in the Garden of Eden. And he prophesied about the seed of the woman. So God's strategy to undoing the fall of man in the garden was tied to a seed that was to come. So Satan said, okay, thank God the seed is not here. Before the time comes for the seed to come, I'm going to corrupt the entire human race, and there will be no possibility of a pure seed left. You get that? So what we are battling here is a genetic battle. Are you with me? Now, the moment man fell the third time, and he came under the influence of human government, his covering had shifted. Absolutely. He had a different covering. His covering was now human. And that was not how God ordained man. God ordained man to be operating under the covering that is from God. And because his covering was now human, the human race, the seed of man, became available for corruption. So what happened in the book of Genesis chapter 6 was that, and that's the first time in the Bible that the terminology sons of God was used. I think I need to define what sons of God really are. Because if we go to the book of Genesis chapter 6, you will see sons of God. If we go to the book of Job chapter 38, you will see sons of God. If you go to the book of Luke chapter 5, you see son of God. If you go to Romans chapter 8, you see sons of God. I need to tell you about the bicameral nature of the heavens and the earth. You see, the reason why there is war on earth is because there was war in heaven. The reason why there are watchers on earth is because there are watchers in heaven. The reason why there is worship on earth is because there is worship in heaven. The reason why the Bible says that there is a river, and that river is on earth, is because there is a river in heaven. The earth is supposed to be a mirror image of heaven. Are you with me? The reason why there is rest on earth is because there is rest in heaven. And so in the book of Isaiah chapter 11, there is a prescription on how you can make your spirit rest. That rest is tapping into the economy of rest that is in the heavens. And that's what the Sabbath illustrates. Rest that is from God. Oh, it is that jubilee of rest that Jesus was talking about when he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I will what? But I don't want to press into it. But I need to add here that in the allocation of rest, it's only unclean spirits that are not given any allocation of rest. Because the Bible says that when an unclean spirit is casted out of the man, he walketh about in dry places, seeking rest, and findeth not. You don't know the world of the spirit if you don't know the economy of rest. Meanwhile, there is rest on earth, because there is rest where? That's the first law of the Bible. Are you with me? Second law of the Bible, if God does a thing, it's only God that can change it. If an angel does something, it's only an angel that can change it. As powerful as God is, he cannot change it. If it will change, it's an angel that will change it. If a problem is caused by a man, as powerful as God is, it's a man that will change it. I hope you know the fall of man was a product of man. So the second Adam had to be man. You don't understand. That's the law of the Bible. I want you to take it in. This subject is huge. And that's why I begged our team leader to give me time so that we can walk the scripture. We can walk it. So God had to become man. In order for, and I mean when I say man, in every way man. Because if he wasn't man in every way, the claims of divine justice will not be satisfied. So Jesus had to be born like every other man so that he can put on flesh. And all the ailments that were attributed to flesh became realities that he could relate with. And all of this was because he needed to be man in order for him to solve a problem that men created. Are you there? All right, so the terminology sons of God, what does it mean? Have you ever read your Bible and you have seen a very disturbing comment about Jesus, the firstborn of every creature? Ever? Okay, that scripture didn't trouble you. It troubled you. I will tell you what it means. So when we talk about sons of God, we are talking about original creatures that God created, beings that God created, by an act of creation, not by an act of declaration. You realize that when God wanted to create Adam, he stepped out of himself to do some modeling work. Oh, this class is not with me. Oh. Let me try again. When he wanted to create Adam, what did he do? He stepped out of himself. In fact, the terminology, Jehovah Elohim, that's the pre-incarnate name of Christ. Jesus stepped out. Have you seen in the book of Colossians that the Bible revealed that it was Jesus that was the creator from the beginning? I've seen that. So Jehovah Elohim. When the Father God makes a proclamation, let there be light! Jehovah Elohim is the technocrat, the engineer. He comes out of the Godhead and he does the administration to make the light work. Are you? And so Jehovah Elohim had to do something deliberate in order for man to be created. So any such creature that God had to do something deliberate for him to come on the scene, he has that status, sons of God. And there are angels that are in that category. I need to prove it to you. Job chapter 38, verse 7. Are you ready for a Bible study? Stay with me. Stay with me. Job chapter 38, verse 7, quickly. In Job chapter 38, what that scripture contains is that Job decided to accuse God. In the eyes of Job, he was righteous, and God victimized him. And the only reason why he couldn't charge God to court was because there was no court that had the competent jurisdiction to hear his case against God. So God decided to make himself available for Job to cross-examine. So Job chapter 38 is an attempt. No, God decided to come to Job's level, and he decided to cross-examine Job just to convince Job of the fact that he didn't have enough stature to contend with him. You are not with me. Job chapter 38, verse 1. Let's go. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkness counsel by words without knowledge? I need to explain that. He darkens counsel. That means if you had an encounter with God, has this happened to you before? You had an encounter with God and you went to meet somebody that supposedly is a spiritual person, and you submitted your encounter to the person, and when the person analyzed it, your encounter died. The reason is because the person darkened the little counsel that you received. His explanation were words without knowledge. It can hurt your encounter. It can diminish the essence of your encounter with God. So the first thing, when God came on the scene, he said, there's smoke here. Who is this that is speaking words without knowledge? Job, that's a strange place to be. Next, he said, okay, you need to go through cross-examination. He said, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will contend with thee and answer thou me. Number one, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. It means some of the things you are suffering now, I built them into the foundations of the earth. And if you were not there to witness it, you will not be able to explain why you are going through this. He was trying to tell Job that if you were ancient, if you say you are ancient, were you there when I laid the foundations? So if you did not see the foundations being laid, do you think you have the stature to complain? There are things too vast beyond your imagining that I put in place. And then this, your finite mind wants to understand it. You darken walls without darken knowledge. Darken what? Understanding with walls without knowledge. Next question. Where are you? He said, who laid the measures thereof? That means, who calculated the diameter of the earth? Who stretched the line upon it? That's diameter. Diameter. Now, if you don't know circle geometry, you may not even know what he's talking about. There was a calculation that I built in place. A reference point I established in my creation. If you are not there, what question are you asking now? What is the next question? Verse 6. Whereupon are the foundations fastened? Or who laid the cornerstones thereof? These are engineering words. Where is the pillar that holds the center? How did I successfully suspend the heavens? There's nothing that holds it. Okay, have you been able to find the foundation in your sojourn? And you are unjust and you are complaining. You still ask him the last question, which is what is still part of, is where I'm going. Yes? He said, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. I hope you know, at this time, no man was created, but there were sons of God. So there were some angels that are direct consequences of God's act of creation. You are not with me. Now, stay with me. Do you know that God created the tree and then created seed in itself so that the tree can continue propagation? I'm talking about the first item that was created. Meanwhile, a tree is not a person, so trees are not in this category. So this angel, the ones that he created originally, those ones are in the category of the sons of God. Number two, go to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. Coming. Before we go to Luke chapter 1, verse 35, I need to take you to another scripture. If you are still here, say amen. Hallelujah. Okay. First go to Luke chapter 3 verse 38 before Luke chapter 1 verse 35. Luke chapter 3 verse 38. Which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. So Adam was an initial deliberate act of creation. And Adam earned the designation, what? Son of God. So we have, do you realize that this is in the singular, son of God? Oh, this is my class. Are you there? Now, so there were other people that came from Adam's loins. Those ones were not recognized as sons of God, because they were not a product of a direct act of God's creative ability. So when Adam failed, the father came into the garden and he made a statement, Adam, where are thou? For many years, I thought he was talking about the first Adam. But he was actually calling the regime of the second Adam to come into manifestation. And that second Adam, are you still with me? That second Adam, let us see how he was conceived. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, because he asked a question. She asked a question. What was the question? You are talking about me having a child. So how shall these things be? Because I know not a man. So the angel was forced to unveil a revelation. That revelation was not part of the errand, but it was a question that provoked it. So the angel had to give further insight. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. This is a direct act of creation. This was the process by which Jesus put on flesh. Direct act of creation. So that's why Jesus could stand in the capacity of what? The Spirit of the Lord shall overshadow thee, and the power of the highest, the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall what? Shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called direct act of the of God's creation. The hand of God, that is the Spirit of God, had to go to work to make that possible. You get that? Okay. Now, so in redemption, I hope you know we're not born again the same day. This scripture, Luke chapter 1 verse 35, is the reason why Jesus is called creature. Because this act of creation was designed to make Jesus have the component that can make him validly function as a man. Do you see need for me to go to the book of Philippians? When the Bible says, who being in the morphe, the structure of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was in a structure before. He had to give up that structure to take on the morphe of man. That's deliberate. So he was now found as a man. And even when he was a man, he still did not cleave to the privileges of humanity. He submitted to the death, and even the death on the cross. And according to the Jews, a man that dies on a tree, whether a living one or something that came from a tree, is cursed. That's the worst kind of death to die. And that's why many of his disciples left him after his death. Because they knew the sign. This is a curse. That's when we discovered that most of the champion people that believed Jesus were women. Even though he died on a cross, a woman was. He had already died, but a woman was weeping at his tomb. The man has died. Which kind of loyalty is that? What are you expecting in death? A woman labored. And that was a bet of women ministry. When Jesus rose, he didn't see any man to send. No man to send. So he said, go tell Peter and my brothers. Oh my God. So he had to send a woman to a backsliding apostle. Let me stop there. The sisters there will become too excited. Do you realize that when you gave your life to Christ, you see, it was not mass production. The reaction was specific. It was a specific act of creation to regenerate your spirit. And that's why you are also, you number among what? How many of you still remember that moment when you were on the crusade ground and you felt that pull? And the moment you say, yes, Lord, creation began. The Holy Spirit began to forge on your spirit man all that is required for your spirit man to become a transmission center, a receptacle, a place to contain God. You get that? Okay. So, now that you understand this, let me take you back to the book of Genesis chapter 6 and let me show you what happened when man operated under human government. The human race became exposed. And the implication of the exposure was that there was an infiltration. Hallelujah. So I can tell you reliably that if we are following the rules of biblical explanation, all the time sons of God were mentioned in the book of Genesis, they refer to angels. So in the book of Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth. And I need to tell you, show you who these men are. These men are the descendants of Cain that have departed from the presence of God to establish a civilization apart from God. Guess what? They multiplied faster than the other ones that refused to follow them, that were waiting close to Eden for God to have mercy and open the curtain and bring salvation to them. So there were two races of men. Some had learned the way of prayer, and the Bible said they began to call upon the name of the Lord. That was one. And then this was the next race, the descendants of Cain. And they multiplied faster than the guys that wanted to plead with God. Oh, you want to start a ministry? Somebody running a club will have more people than you. And then you begin to compare yourself. Guys, see, everywhere is packed up. There are cars. You don't know that men will multiply faster. Righteousness does not produce results early, but it has transgenerational potential. So if you want to win by righteousness, you must stay on the process. So the Bible says that it came to pass that men began to multiply upon the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them. That what? Next verse. That the sons of God, these ones had already been corrupted, they had fallen from the heavens, and they attacked the seed of men and mingled with them. The idea is that there should be no possibility available for that utterance, that prophecy that God gave to come to pass, because the world was waiting for the seed of the woman. An act of God that will make a woman pregnant, because a woman doesn't have seed. This was where the corruption started. And the reason why the corruption started here was because man was under human government. These guys were no longer under the government of God, so their seed became vulnerable. Should I tell you something else? God never, never created any wild animal. I know you won't believe that, but I came prepared for you. Please help me tell your neighbor. I know it's hard. You see, we've not been doing Bible study for long. So even the Bible now is changed. So we need to restore Bible study again to the house of God. God never created any wild animal. Where did wildness come from? Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. Are you there in verse 11? The implication of the sons of God mingling themselves with the seed of man was what produced violence. That's number one. And what did it produce again? Corruption. So it produced a bondage of corruption. Oh my, you're not with me. It produced what? The bondage of corruption and violence. Those were the two things that came out of the genetic experiment that took place, and the intention was to corrupt the seed of man. So the book of Genesis, if we want to understand it, is the battle for the seed. And that's why God had to ask Noah to build that ark. It was an attempt to kill everybody that was already corrupted, so that a new generation of uncorrupted people can start. But you know what? Noah's children had to marry, and the gene of corruption was in their wives. So even after the flood, Goliath came from that strand. If you don't know the Bible that is genetic, you will not know why Goliath was how he was, and why God will command that nations to be annihilated totally. It was an attempt to manage corruption. Because that's what AT is used against us, that the God of the Bible is a God of love, and he said they should kill. And then you say, it's because you don't know the Bible. Are you there? I was trying to manage the corruption. Why do you think he called Abraham out of his country? Leave your people.
I will start a new nation with you. Indeed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed.
Why?
He was saving him from corruption so that he could start something new. And Abraham was a first Hebrew. As Abraham left the all of the Chaldees, his language changed. He became a Hebrew. So the bondage of corruption was a product of the mingling of the fallen ones with the human seed. And this was where wild animals came from. I know you still don't believe, so I need to show you another scripture. When Jesus comes to reign in the millennial reign, everything on earth will turn back to factory setting. Right? So in the book of Isaiah chapter 11, we see one of the prophecies of the millennial reign of Jesus. He said, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he shall make him quick, of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and reprove the equity for the meek of the earth. For he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Number 6. That's number 6. He said, a wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion they shall fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. A little child will lead the lion. Yeah, next verse. And the cow and the bear shall feed. It means bears will become herbivores. And their young ones shall lie together, and the lion shall eat straw like what? An ox. He didn't create wild animals. It was that mingling that tampered with the gene, and it brought forth a bondage of corruption and violence. You see that? Alright, verse 8. And the suckling child shall play in the hole of an asp. That's a snake. And the winged child shall put his hand on the crocodile's den. And they shall hurt not, nor destroy in my holy mountain. Violence will be extinguished. They shall hurt not. They shall not destroy in my holy mountain. Are you there? Oh, you got that? All right. So, let's move forward. Now that we know what the bondage of corruption is, we also need to know what the vanity. For the Bible says that creation was subject to vanity. Not willing. How many of you still remember the cry of the preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes? What was his cry? Vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. Why? Because in the original creation, it was designed for the Holy Ghost to be the governor, to govern creation so that creation will stay within the ambience of purpose, the latitude of purpose. But when man rebelled against God, he discarded the governor. So the Holy Spirit had to withdraw. Now, the implication is this. Because creation was fitted with the potential to reproduce, are you with me? Plants were created with the potential of seeds that can bear fruit, that can continue the propagation. It means that creation continued even though God had withdrawn. It was the Holy Ghost that was supposed to give it meaning, but it was no longer the governor. It became a void, a vicious circle, It became like a amoeba. It was growing without purpose. It was a vain existence. It could multiply, but there was no purpose in it. So Satan found a vacuum that he could possess. A vast vacuum. It's vain. Just like you, you would have been vain if not that the Holy Ghost came into you to give you purpose. You would have been developing biceps in the gym. And when angels pass, they say, vain. You would have been in a gym with biceps. What is what?
Vain.
The day the man will breathe his last, he will forget all his days on the gym. In the gym. It's only that which can write in eternity that will become his benefit. So if the ink horn of the Holy Ghost is not on your inside, your life will strike no chord where it matters. So creation was vain. Subject to vanity. Meaningless expanse of propagation and sustainability. Fulfilling no purpose at all. Number three, we see the work of a regulator. Can we still go back to Romans chapter 8? There's a regulator there. Romans chapter 8. If you are still with me, say amen. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation. No, jump this scripture. That's the last verse I'm going to touch. Jump this scripture. Go to the next one. He said, for the creature was made subject. Can you underline subject? It means there's a regulator. Oh, you're not here. You're not here. You see, the moment the sons of God infiltrated the seed of man, what God did was that he downgraded creation. Just in case you ate mango, how many of you like mango like myself? And it was so sweet, I came to tell you that that is not original mango. You are celebrating downgraded mango. For the Bible says that creature was made subject to vanity. Not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. So the regulator applied regulation and downgraded creation so that the potential that will be available to Satan's might to wield will be reduced. I know you say witchcraft has taken over your village. The potential was downgraded. So that what Satan can wield from the vacuum of vanity will not be so potent. He downgraded it. And the reason why he downgraded it was because he had a strategy, a battle strategy. And his battle strategy was that since it was the initial sons of God that brought the bondage of corruption, he will manifest another generation of sons of God to unlock the bondage of corruption. You know, I told you the law of the Bible. It was Jehovah that sealed the ark of Noah. Even though they were pleading, Noah said, hey, I'm not the one that sealed it. Jehovah, we need to open it before you can come in. Unfortunately, I never sealed it. The law of the Bible. The one that causes the problem must be the one that will solve the problem. So it's the sons of God that brought corruption. It will be the sons of God that will terminate the bondage of corruption. Oh, the moment the sons of God come on the scene, then God will remove the embargo on downgrading creation. So the full potential of creation can come out. That's when you will know that the stars can become weapons of war. You will never know until the sons of God come. You think they are twinkle, twinkle little stars. When the sons of God come on the scene, the potential of these things will be unlocked. They will tap into the code of creation. Just like Jesus could speak to the wind and say, peace! And the wind heard his voice. And they knew that code. And they obeyed. And the people in the under ship cried out, who is this man that even the wind and the wave, they obey him.
When the sons of God show up, they will wonder. That question will come up again.
Who is this man? The revelation will continue. The killings will continue. The death will continue. The henchmen will continue until a set of people come. They are called the sons of God.
Oh! And insecurity will die a natural death. Yes. It will not be by our military might that these things will come to an end.
There will be an unveiling of the elect of God that will come upon the scene. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh, Jesus saw the witchcraft in your village. He saw the manslaughter. He saw the blood. And he was hopeful that the time was going to come when such people that are led by the Holy Ghost will come upon the scene.
Your name is evergreen. You are the wisdom before time began. You live forever. Your name is evergreen. You are the wisdom before time began.
Something like the gift of healing, because part of the bondage of corruption is affliction, sickness, and disease. Meanwhile, the Bible says that he was wounded for transgression, he was bruised for iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, he already paid for the healing, but sons of God will manifest it. The bondage of corruption will give way. God will be glorified. So you are the prophet of your family. You are the one that will bring about the transformation. You are the one that will bring about the change. It is by your hand that the kingdom will reign.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, the people that
Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, in order for our proceeding to be effective, if you hear me say in the name of Jesus, say amen, keep quiet. So let's try. In the name of Jesus. Listen. When a man becomes sucked away in the Holy Ghost, part of what the dealings of the Holy Spirit will do is that it will expire your ambition, your wisdom. His hands are strong so that you can be a vessel that is submitted. If you are like that, there's one significant thing that you'll be able to discern. Your timing. The Bible says that John the Baptist was in the wilderness until the day of his showing forth to Israel. That's how sons of God, they are unveiled at the appointed time. When you find someone desperately looking for visibility, God has not sent him. Ask my media people. We had cameras for long, but there are times I would drive them away not to film this, and some of them will go and film it. There are messages I'll preach and say, "Don't record this." It's 2 years ago, but the great one, because I know
in the kingdom, there is a time of manifestation. You are, God will ensure that you are hidden. Even if you go on NTA and say, I am on television, that night everybody will see. They will not see. The regulatory hand of God will ensure that the stones are hidden, because the stones must be revealed according to the calendar of God. So you need to redefine what success is again. Because the last time we went for ministers' conferences, we came back depressed. Because they spoke about buildings, about a lineage of men that is buildings that they were called to build. And in our lineage, we are called to build. There was no building project in the New Testament. And that is a complete omission. The things that are highly reckoned among men, God doesn't know them. In the book of Ezekiel, God commissioned a temple that was never built. It was in that temple that was never built that the revelation of Jehovah Shammah came. The Lord is there in a temple that was never built. The first time a man called a place house of God, there was no building standing there. It was a place where there were stones, rubble. The first time a man said, this is the gate of heaven, it was on earth, it was not in heaven. You will never know God with your brain. Oh, you want to know the Holy Ghost? He will shake your brain. Until you become foolish, you can never be truly wise. Manipulate your times. It's okay, you're unwilling to give away greed. Your days in of hiding are extended. Your wilderness journey is extended. So that when the Son of God is being manifested, he has understood the government of the Holy Ghost, and the life he lives is being led by the Holy Ghost. Then you are about to see another wonder. You are about to see the bondage of corruption experience damage, because that man is not God. He's operating under the influence of the Creator. So he knows the source code. Rivers will part. Fire, if need be, will come down from heaven to authenticate his rising. Kings will die because he showed up. Native doctors will go to the early grave because one man comes to town. And guess what? The angels that come to territories, they travel with men that come into the same territories. How do angelic battles take place? Men come around. I'm talking about men with stature. That the only glory they have is the Holy Spirit. He's the source of their wisdom, the source of their understanding, he's their strategy, he's their model. It's what he says that becomes their command. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, the Bible says, there are the sons of God. It is through their hands that God will renovate the earth. And if Satan could not handle one son of God, he will not be able to handle the time of the sons of God. That time is upon us. The wilderness is giving up its valiance. The deserts are giving up their valiance. The swamp is giving up its champions. For the season comes for another cry to rise from the midst of the body of Christ. When the sorcerer, what's his name? No, the one in the Old Testament, that one in the Balaam, the sorcerer. He used divination to scan Israel. And he saw that there was a cry in the midst of her. It was not just an ordinary cry. It was the cry of a king. He knew that a son would rise. And because his cry was there, enchantment could not scatter the cry. There was a destiny that was, it was not visible what he was crying.
I tell you, hell knows when sons are about to be released. Hell knows. Meanwhile, it was Balaam, under the influence of divination, he prophesied about Jesus as clear as Isaiah. He told us what restrained him. A cry. Just a cry of a coming son was enough to spare Israel. What about the day of the manifestation of the sons of God? Then Europe, the United Kingdom, will have to kneel before him again. Oh. Europe will have to bow again. Germany, Netherlands will bow because the man rose. Suddenly, the land of Zabulon is remembered. The people of Naphtali, they are remembered. They've been under perpetual darkness, and people will even claim that it's their destiny until the projections of heaven steps into their corridor. And the Bible records that the people that start in darkness, they have seen a great light. God wants to dispatch you to your domain, but you are going back another man, because the Spirit of God, he will come upon you and you will be changed into another man. I remember darkness was in my family, and when you get to the age of 21, it will fall on you. Our firstborn got to 21 and he became schizophrenic. Secondborn got to 21, she stepped on something in University of Jaws, and her right leg became two times as fat as her left. The doctor said that we amputated it. Thirdborn became 21, he had an infirmity that doctors could not diagnose. I watched my elder brother, my immediate elder brother, run mad before my eyes. And he was at 21. And I knew that I would be visited by the devil at the age of 21. So I learned how to pray. Not just in the morning, but in the night. Camino Arato. I could tell you, Carato Pulavo. I Kamaka Kore. I could tell you, Kamato. Time. Necromancers keep time. Warlocks, they keep time. And when a true warlock tells you, you will see the minute they will come after you. It might be 9 years, but they will come. They will look for when you are weak and vulnerable. I was to celebrate my 21st birthday, and I was on campus, running to the prayer room because we had this prayer time for 12 midnight to 1 a.m. That's why it's not good to be late to a prayer. I was late. And I had an encounter. On a campus walkway that any time of the day you find people going up and down, that day I was alone. And this bird appeared, ow, wanting to stand on my head. I used my hand to hit it. Then it just moved back. It didn't fly back, it moved back like this. Then it occurred to me that this is what plagued my brother. I tried to go in the flesh, and he wanted to change to something else. And the Holy Ghost whispered to me, fear is a luxury tonight. That's what he told me. It means you will die if you fear. So in order to avoid not getting afraid, I closed my eyes. And I spoke tongues in capital letters. Naivo Kelia. When I opened my eyes, this wing was broken, so the thing could not fly again. So it's working. Hey, may it take me salu. I dealt with that thing. 3 days later, the last among my ancestors that refused to die, he came out of the door, stood by his doorpost. Fell down faithful and died. Peace came to my house and the death stopped. My younger sisters are 21. Nothing happened to them. The bondage of corruption will continue until a storm arises. So my question tonight, as we pray together, are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect another? Can you register your presence? I don't know. I know I am. Oh. Oh. Hey. I'm on the knee. It is for such a time as this that the Lord apprehended me. For signs and for wonders. It happened to others, but it must not happen to you. Because of this conference, expect the bondages of corruption, things that have been transgenerational, reproaches, bondages of all kinds, to give way. We have mustered some of the purest preachers in Nigeria to celebrate the Feast of Glory, which will be the end of the bondages on the lives of men. I see a prophet, a lady, called to be a prophet. And right now, God is going to change your garment. There is an old garment will be taken away, and all its attendant reproaches. And a new garment is going to be placed on your life in the next few seconds. The hand of God will come upon you. The Spirit of God will come upon you. There is a change of garment. There is a change of garment. I see a change of garment. The current garment that you carry is prone to affliction, is prone to reproach, but God is changing that garment right now. It's changing the garment. I'm talking to a lady. The hand of God will be so strong on you. Also, if you find any such lady, you can bring the person. I need to prophesy. I need to decree a few things. The hand will come strong. It will come powerful. Your garment must be changed. Your garment must be changed. I must tell him, Lobera Kutama Ketua, Mento Ekope. Oh, the heavens are open. The heavens are open. There's a change of garment. The old garment has to go. The old garment has to go. So that the new garment can be placed on you. The hand of God comes strong. Strong on you. Listen. Listen, the Holy Ghost just whispered to me now. And the Holy Ghost said, okay, let's wait for the ushers to. We'll be doing this for 30 minutes. Yokes will break, all kinds of things will change right now. All kinds of things will change. Oh my God. The hand of God comes even yet stronger. Yet stronger. Your garment needs to be changed. Your garment must be changed. Your garment in the spirit must be changed. He will take away the garment. He will take away the garment. So that you are beyond reproach. You are beyond affliction. The garment is changing. There is a replacement. Let it change. It is changing. Find the lady. Can you hear me? Help me find the lady whose name is Angela among this one. There is an Angela. Bring that Angela to me on the stage here. There's an Angela. There's an Angela that is supposed to be out here. Angela. There's an Angela. Find the Angela. The gift of prophecy will be given to her. Angela. Now listen. I'm looking for an Angela. If you find the Angela, bring her to me here. If you find the Angela, bring her. The hand of God will come on the Angela. Listen, the Lord says, okay, let's take it one after the other. Father, anywhere the Angela is in this congregation, let your hand fall upon that Angela. Let your hand fall upon Angela. Let your hand fall upon Angela. Let your hand come strong on Angela. Angela. Anywhere the Angela is, the hand of God will come upon you stronger. Stronger. From my left hand side to my right hand side. To the balcony on top. Lord. Show us Angela. 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 So the hand of God is coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. Have you asked them for their names? It's okay. Bring the Angela. Because the great one won't allow us to proceed without Angela. Where is that face towel I use now? Give me. The Lord says that there is someone here and in your family, there is a monitoring spirit just like there was in my family. First of all, the hand of God will come on you. Father, anywhere that person is, up or down, up or down, up or down, up or down, show me a sign of power. It's coming. Don't worry. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Holy Ghost, show me a sign of power. A sign of power. Put this upon her head. She will prophesy. Yeah, help me, help me. It's obvious that I can hear the... I think the person is upstairs. There are specific instructions, so we cannot... Now, all the point men that are present, please just lay your hands on this. This lady. Point men, point men. Point men. Point men. If you find a spirit, you cast it out. If you find a demon, you show the demon the way out. Have you found the person I'm looking for? Usher. Now, for your information, the Lord said He will heal the eyes. He will heal eyes this night. If you find a spirit there, you can cast it out. Oh my God. Oh my God. Yes, yes. In the name of Jesus, I challenge that spirit tormenting your family. I break the yoke. I release the grip. I free your family in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the yoke break in the name of Jesus Christ. So for 5 minutes, we are going to speak in tongues. For 5 minutes. For 5 minutes. For 5 minutes. We are going to cross an eruption. For 5 minutes. For cross an eruption. For 5 minutes. There's an eruption in the spirit.
Jesus said a big amen. In the name of Jesus.
Listen to me, listen. I'm seeing someone in the spirit. You seem to have written an examination. There's an examination that you wrote. Oh my God. There's an examination that you wrote. And it seems that you failed. And it seems that there are limited number of times you can try, you can attempt the exam.
Where are you? Oh, fire. You failed. Holy Ghost fire. Everywhere.
I want to help you fast.
Holy Ghost fire.
Oh, fire. Holy Ghost fire. Where's my friend?
Find out, find
out. Oh, fire! Holy Ghost fire! Holy Ghost fire!
Where is Pastor Tony? Interview them. Quickly, quickly.
I'm not saying everybody should come. I'm saying, you wrote an exam, you failed, and there are limited number of times to attempt the exam. In the name of Jesus! Somebody escaped death narrowly. You escaped death narrowly, and the day was a Friday. It was a Friday. You escaped death narrowly on a Friday. Where are you? The day was a Friday. You? Come.
I know fire. Holy Ghost fire.
Okay.
Holy Ghost fire.
Oh, fire! Holy Ghost fire! Holy Ghost fire! Yes, what is the exam? Pastor Tony, what's happening there? Is it true?
We are having issues of exams being failed here.
Is it an exam that has limited number of attempts?
The 400 level first semester exam, and she had 4.
Okay. The Lord wants me to help you.
Yeah, this is this brother here. The name he is pronouncing seems very technical.
Okay.
And he represents the case, so I want him to pronounce it through his own vocal cord.
Right. It's USMLE.
What?
USMLE. It's in United States Medical License Exam.
Oh, the United exam. States Medical License Exam.
And right. This brother also.
Lord. Oh, I know it has troubled your soul. Receive strength. Receive strength. Receive strength in the name of Jesus. Go and try again.
This one, he has exhausted his 7th year in the university, and if he don't pass this exam, his 7th year in the school will be a waste.
Father, in the name of Jesus, grant your servant success. Yes. Success. Go, write again. I know the rest of you may not be very serious. Let me ask the Lord. There are three of you. The Lord wants to help you. Three of you. So he will come to you by himself. He will touch you by himself. Father, in the name of Jesus, can you touch those three people that you want to help? You want to help those three people. Touch them. Touch them. Touch them. Touch them. He's coming. Don't worry. He's coming. Touch them. Touch three of them. Touch three of them. Let your hand come strong on them. Let your hand come strong. Let your hand come stronger. Come strong on them. Come strong. Yes. It's remaining two. Stand with come strong. Help them. Help them. Help them. Holy Ghost, help them.
Don't help the last one. Help the last one. His hand will come strong. Don't worry. His hand will come. So strong. So strong. So strong. There's someone here. He's helping too. He's helping. I saw it in the spirit. He's helping someone here. And the hand of God will come stronger. To come strong. To come strong on him. Lord, help that person. Help that person. Help that person. Holy Ghost. Help that person. Help that person. In the name of Jesus. Help that person. Go. He will start speaking. Someone here, for the last 3 nights, you've been having terrible dreams. I can see 3 nights, very terrible dreams. Very terrible. In fact, yesterday night you had a choking experience. A choking experience. That's how you will know it's you. Come. 3 nights, terrible experience. Yesterday night, choking experience. Where are you? Choking. That's how you know it's you. Now listen. Come this way. You know what I saw? A demon was sent to you. A demon. Yeah. I saw it. So, we can punish the person that sent it if you want. Do you want? Let's punish it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I send this arrow back to the sender. Back to the sender. Back to the sender. Go. You will not experience that. Meanwhile, the person will experience it. Yeah. 3 times in 3 nights. If the person calls you to repent, forgive. Before I pray for the sick, quickly, if you are here, you have not given your life to Christ, you are wasting, right? You are wasting. So upstairs, downstairs, you want to give your life to Christ, it's simple, just put your right hand on your chest. You are saying, Jesus, I end the rat race. I want to serve you now. I want to make you king in my space, king over my life. If your right hand is on your chest, put your left hand up so that the preacher can see. Right hand on your chest. Left hand up. If your hands are up, come here so that I can lead you to him. Come before the pulpit. Do not allow the devil win the argument over your soul. Watch for. It's your time. It's your time. It's your time. Holy Ghost fire, oh fire, Holy Ghost fire, everywhere. Those of you in the balcony, I'm waiting for you. Oh fire, Holy Ghost fire. I'm waiting for you on the balcony. Oh, Holy Ghost fire upon everywhere. To the lobby, then do the need. Just follow him. Don't worry.
Nobody will take your bag, okay? Your handset to be safe. So go with all of your heart to the Lord. Forget your handset. Be safe. Holy Ghost fire. Now, hear me, hear me. You have an eye problem, you use glasses, you are blind, you are short-sighted, you are long-sighted, you have cataract in your eyes, you have glaucoma. Lay your hands. However, if you like your spectacles and you don't want to let go of them, don't lay your hands on them. Oh, yes. Yes. Give me my handkerchief back. Leave her, leave her. Yes, you can put those hands on the hand. Oh, fire. Holy Ghost fire. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over blinding spirits. Blinding spirits, be bound. Be bound in the name of Jesus Christ and come out of the eyes. Come out of the eyes. Come out of the eyes in the name of Jesus. I break the yoke of blindness. Of myopia, hypermetropia, astigmatism, glaucoma, cataract, come out in the name of Jesus. I command the eye, see, see, see. Oh yes, the devil heard that one. So you can open your eyes and check. If you notice there is a change, come to me on the pulpit. Holy Ghost fire. Oh, Holy Ghost fire everywhere, everywhere. Change, just join us. Meanwhile, the Lord will keep healing eyes until we share the grace. So, whether you believe or not, He will just touch the eye and heal it. Now, listen, listen. I know I prayed for eyes, but somebody's ear has opened. Wait, wait. Don't believe. Why are you believing too quick? Someone's ear, one of the ears, can hear better. Where are you? Someone's ear, one of the ears can hear better. Someone's ear, one of the ears can hear better. Can you come? Come. I saw it in the spirit. I saw it. Where are you? Your ear? Okay. Someone's ear can hear better. Join them. Join them. Where is the one for ear? So I'm still waiting for that one for ear. Okay, go on. Are you the one? Ear, come. Yeah, what happened to your ear?
I had a listening issue. They call it like Mo in deep language though.
Huh? Mo. What's Mo?
Yeah. She's swollen, yes, when the hair swelled up, it was coming out to pus, and it was very painful. So, but for some time, after the swollen left, if I could hear this.
No, it's not you. Someone's. Don't worry, I'll pray for you. Don't worry. Anything you call what is not you. Someone has been healed on the ear. So if it's you, you can come. The Lord touched somebody's ears. Are you the one? Who is the one? Ears. Yes, so God, the person with the ears will come. But you wait, don't worry. Ears. Somebody's ears are open. So if you are coming and you are the one for ears, you, as you are coming, raise your hand so that I can know you. You? Come up. The gift of healing, God gives the preacher the honor, even though the preacher is not the one, gives the preacher the honor to know what the anointing is. Right? So he just wants to make us honorable. It's not as if he gives us the honor. And 1,000 times I've seen that. But I know that he doesn't fail. Okay? So come, what happened to you?
Sir, my left ear can hear past the right ear.
Your left ear can hear past the right ear. No. Now, is the left ear hearing?
Sir. Yes, sir.
Wait, cover the right ear, make me see. This one they hear.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. So he still did the way where David before.
Yes, sir.
Wait. Yes, sir. If he still did the way where David before, stop you at the look for. But stand there. Someone healed on the ear. So if you are the one. You, when you are coming, raise your hand. Yes, what happened there? You see, the reason why I'm insisting. Okay, I don't need to tell you.
This mama had not been able to read without her glass.
She has not been able to read without her glass.
After the prayer, she just run the manifestation and she discovered that she can read. She even brought a copy of a devotional
to test it
and then she
read.
Discovered she could read without her glass.
Now, do we have the ear person? The ear person, I'm waiting for you. Still waiting for you. Mama, come. Let me touch you. Lord, this is permanent in the name of Jesus. Is this your last? I'm an ophthalmologist. So, my medical colleagues, these ones are my colleagues in the medical aspect, but my own is different. We don't give glasses, we take them away. That's our own practice. We are blessed in the name of Jesus.
Pastor.
Ah. Okay. Let's leave that. She, there's the wind of God blew this way like this. Someone can hear from the left ear. Someone can hear from the left ear. This is you I'm waiting for. Okay, go on.
Our pastor's wife.
Who is that? Okay, Tony.
Suddenly, she said suddenly she began to feel as if 1,000 hair were struggling for attention in her eyes.
Okay.
And with serious pains. And after the prayer, that she even had an extra copy of a white handkerchief to constantly attend to the situation. But after the prayer, the situation had been arrested. She could use her eyes properly.
It's permanent. Yes, it's permanent.
This sister has
this is my pastor. Why did you come out? Why you would have discussed this? Please, pastor. Okay, come and pray for me first. That's why you are coming. My pastor is here. Come and pray for me. Forget that here. My pastor is here. Oh. celebrate my fast.
Father, we thank you for the fulfillment of your word. Thank you, Lord. We ask for more grace. More grace. More grace. Father, you are taking us from one level to the next. Oh God, thank you, Holy Spirit. It's not all about Him, Lord. It's about you. Thank you, Lord. So you will not withhold anything. You will not withhold anything. In the name of Jesus.
This is my pastor. Well, very soon you will see her on this platform. She just sneaked in. You are welcome. Celebrate her again.
Sir, this one is a combination of short-sightedness and astigmatism.
What's the medical name? Does it have a name? Doctors are not short of names.
Astigmatism and short-sightedness.
Okay, it's the two together. So two demons, one watching this side, one watching this.
And the situation had been arrested.
Do you wear glasses? Good. Let's see. I've not seen that type. Designed to undo the work of two demons. You know, we don't prescribe, we take. It's permanent in the name of Jesus.
This sister also, she had been under the yoke of, I think, short-sightedness.
Wait, I'm seeing something else. God has chosen one of you, but we'll find out. We'll find out. I saw the wind. Okay, two of you. Lord, break the yoke. Break the yoke. Break the yoke. I saw the wind. But this is not the night for the wind. This is a welcome night. You will step into a higher measure of spirit things in the name of Jesus. Well, I want to pray for you, Lord. We thank you for Johnny Message. Thank you for bringing everyone. Our brothers from the US, from the UK, from the Netherlands, from Germany, from Kenya. Do a work these days. Glorify yourself. In the name of Jesus.
This young boy was healed of eye condition too.
This young guy. What was it? Let me see. My God. You know, many times, young man, did I come to you in the night to say you should come and testify? You know, these days we need to ask, because preachers will come 4 days before they meet, and you find them in the market. We stop naked. Have we met before? Me and you, have we met? So, I have not met. And God has healed him. Did you come with anybody? If you know this boy, please come. You know this boy? Oh, please help me. This boy cannot come here alone. You came with who? Tenumo Elijah. Who is that? Tenumo Elijah, the boy you came with can see. Come and tell us what happened to him. One of the nights who allow that wind, we are constraining the wind. We can release it from here and it goes to work. We'll do something. These are the days of the sons of God. Tell me, what was wrong with this guy?
Sir, I don't actually know. He just developed a problem. And he has been moving, we have been moving to doctors, opticians for cure, but no results.
Find out from him. What happened to him? You can speak. All right. So what happened to you? Did you feel anything? His eyes started scratching him. That means it was itching by the Holy Ghost. Sometimes for some after itching, it doesn't mean this anymore. You know, the doctor is looking at me like this. I'm one of you. Give up your release. I don't need to practice, I take them. Somebody talk, hallelujah!
To know more about Apostle Aroma Osai and his ministry, Remnant Christian Network, kindly visit at rcnglobal.org and follow us on social media platforms, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Apostle Aroma Osai, or call +234 8060 5088888. God bless you.